start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
It's finally playoff time, and now the fun starts. The question is, do we get a brand new champion or a repeat champion? Hi, I'm Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Lewis Frank and John Roberts.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Lewis and John here. And man, we got a lot to talk about. Let's talk about Daytona first, Lewis. I thought that was a heck of a show. You want to know why you got the playoffs, why we get the playoffs make you excited? That was a perfect example.
Where did Ryan Blaney come from? And don't tell me his hometown.
That's the same thing I said when he moved to the front. Where did he come from?
That was, what a finish. I mean, and to have Justin Haley up there and Daniel Suarez, it's like the night of the living dead. There's two drivers who don't have a contract next year. Crazy.
JR, it was a heck of a show. And, you know, how would you have liked to have been Alex Bowman sitting back there going, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, yes!
I know. It came right down. But that's what Daytona is all about, guys. The thing I love about Daytona, Talladega 2, is you can be leading on turn number 4 on the final lap, and you might not win that race. And somebody could come from 4th or 5th or 6th or even further back in that turn. So we didn't know until all was said and done. But what an exciting way to end a regular season and get some momentum going into the playoffs. Not that the series necessarily needed any momentum. It's just a good time, I really think, to have a finish like that when you're starting to have, you know, your media availabilities with all these playoff drivers, and you're starting to get in the forefront more and more.
Well, and people say, oh, you know, Daytona, I mean, you're going to have the big one, and everybody's going to run. It's all like nothing but a gas mileage race. It wasn't this time, Lewis. Yeah, you had, you know, it wasn't the big one in the first stage. You did have a number of cars got wrecked out, but yeah, the third stage was riveting. No big wrecks, no gas mileage, you know, playing around with gas mileage, nobody running 50% throttle. I thought it was a great show all the way around.
Yeah, they were racing each other, but to go back to the start, that hit that Austin Cindric took, I was shocked that he came out of the care center and he was fine. Again, to come from these guys coming from nowhere and the other thing. I also like Bowman's quote was when they interviewed him. He said, I'll just sit and watch it on TV. Can you imagine your career? I mean, his career isn't on the line exactly, but, you know, being in the chase and should he get up to the championship, that will also put the stamp of authenticity on him.
That would be, you know, JR, as I think of it, that would be, I guess ironic's the right term, considering that Bowman failing an inspection at Charlotte last year put Logano back in the playoffs. Yeah. He wins the championship. And now this year, a Penske guy put Bowman in the playoffs.
Very good. I agree. It's ironic. Yeah, so,
I'm sure not the latter, but the former in that situation is the better thing to look at here for Alex Bowman. But I think Lewis makes a pretty good point there. You know, it's not necessarily that one little thing can make or break a career. But for somebody, when these seats are so coveted and it's so performance-based, it had to be incredibly nerve-wracking for Alex Bowman, because now the fact that he is one of these playoff drivers, he can, you know, no matter what transpires throughout the next few weeks, he's able to, you know, to fall back on that. If he was outside of the playoffs, you know, just a little bit behind that didn't happen, we'd be talking about a whole different view or optic, if you will, for Alex Bowman.
So I remember last year, because of the way the schedule laid out, Lewis, the regular season finale was at Darlington instead of Daytona. We did get a first-time winner at Daytona. Harrison Burton won that one, and then we got a first-time winner with Chase Briscoe at Darlington. But when you look at this, having Daytona as the regular season finale, knowing that anybody could win that race, and I thought Saturday night was a perfect example of that, because look who was running up front at the end of the race. It fits into what this playoff format is perfectly.
Yes and no. Because one race doesn't make a season. I know the rules, but yes, Daytona or Talladega, they're such wild cards You want unpredictability. You go to the movies, as many people are going to watch sequels, which I don't understand. You don't want to know how the movie ends, you know? And you
Wait, did you watch Titanic?
Yeah, we all had a pretty good idea the boat was going to sink.
You got me. Okay, you got me. All right, I'm buying you wine
and dinner.
We knew
that one.
But you know what? I mean, this is it. I go back to the Jimmy Johnson era. Oh, it's boring. Now we realize what a great accomplishment it was. But, yeah, it would have been nice to see somebody challenge him. And this is what putting Daytona as the last race of the regular season did, because – none of us, from the most rookie of observer to us, crusty old journos, we didn't know how the thing was going to end. And that's what kept our attention late into the night Eastern time.
Yeah. JR, your thoughts?
Well, I agree 100% on that. The unknown about that. With the exception of the Titanic, yeah. If you know how a movie's going to end, you don't necessarily want to go see it. And I think in the bigger picture of things right now, parody is such a big word in sports, and what NASCAR's done over the last few years to make sure we're not going to a race in Trucks, Xfinity, or Cup, and have a look at about four or five guys who can win these races. Nowadays, you're looking at whether it's Trucks, Xfinity, or Cup, you're looking at such a deep field. You can go 14, 20 really deep in the Cup Series as to who might win a race, and with the exception of the Tiger Woods phenomenon in golf, one person kicking everybody's butt has never been good for a professional sport. And you just look on my computer screen right now, as probably a lot of people do, I have that still shot up of all those cars crossing that start finish line. That's what this thing is all about, and again, great time of the year to have something like that, and I just love Daytona every bit of it.
But because of that uncertainty, I like it for the end of the regular season, because it brings uncertainty to that, to the last spot for the playoffs. But I don't like it as the season finale.
Yeah, it was two spots, as you recall, because Tyler Reddick, and he too, he had his incident on the track. So, yeah, but
once Bowman had his, Reddick knew he was okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but again, this is what you want to see in professional sports. You want the golf to, and that's what NASCAR talked about. It's ironic because it's not the seventh game of the World Series, but they're always talking about that. But it felt like that this weekend.
But as we talked about, JR, I don't want to see Daytona crown the champion because of so much uncertainty.
Yeah, no question about that. I just really think, you need some place. And again, that debate is kind of age old. If you remember, guys, not too long ago when we first went to the elimination part of this and NASCAR put the schedule out, Talladega was an elimination race. And that got a lot of people up in arms. They said, man, you cannot have a playoff elimination race here. And so NASCAR moved it. They swapped it with Kansas, if I remember right. But it's why we never say never and you never expect what to do. Yeah, they moved a super speedway out of a transfer race, but they put it at the end of the regular season where fate is really on the line. But I think that's a good use of the concept. And I'm with you. We don't want to crown a champion with so many unknowns. Yeah, everybody knows. Every driver knows and every team knows when they start one of these races. They're all starting at the same track. Everybody's got the same thing to look at. But there is, on the super speedway, just a little bit too much out of control to make it a championship place.
When we come back, the playoffs now start. The playoff standings are set. Kyle Larson, William Byron tied at the top. But have we really seen enough lately to say this guy is a championship favorite? We'll talk about that.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk.
We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with John Roberts of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and Lewis Frank, the Reuters veteran. I'm Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, JR, as we start the Cup playoffs, we have a tie at the top. Kyle Larson, William Byron, both with 2,032 points, three ahead of Denny Hamlin. Ryan Blaney is six back from that. And we go down the list right now. Joey Logano and Ross Chastain, the two guys on the cut line at 2,007 points. Josh Berry's got 2,006. Tyler Reddick, 2,006. Then Austin Dillon, 2,005. And Alex Bowman, 2,002. You look at the number of wins. Hamlin's got four this year. Shane Van Gisbergen has four. Kyle Larson has three. Most of them came early in the year. Christopher Bell's got three. They all came early in the year. I don't know that I could sit there and look right now and say, this guy has been running so well lately, I think he can really put this together and be a championship favorite. Can you?
No, not at all. And that's what I really like about this round. I remember at this time last year, we were talking to Denny Hamlin. And I said, you know, do you really see this as if you're in it, you can win it, a type of a scenario? And he said, no, you know, you have to be honest about this. There's 16 teams out there. And if you're going to be a realist and be honest, there's some that really are not championship contenders. But look at our guys outside the top 12, Barry, Reddick, Dillon, and Bowman. These are very qualified and able drivers to stir up this playoff thing. And then here you have your defending series champion, Joey Logano, in the 12th spot. So, Brett, I think this one is about as wide open as of a field of 16. And, yeah, you can mark some off right now. You can check some if you want to. But I still think that if you're in this thing, there's a chance. It might be a super long shot. But I really feel like if you're in it, you can win it this time around more than ever.
Lewis, how do you feel?
Well, again, Larson and Byron are, you know, the most consistently running at the top. And as you said, Larson, who's won a championship before as well, you know, and he's with Hendrick. Again, because Shane Van Gisbergen is so good on road courses, still learning the ovals. So let me kind of, I don't want to throw any shade on him. I think he's one of the best additions to NASCAR. You know, that came from out of left field. But I look at the first two, and of course, Denny Hamlin does very well at Darlington. So I'm going to go with the chalk, as the horse handicappers say, the favorites. Oh, John, you know that.
Oh yeah, I do. But the you know, really though, Lewis, when you do look at this thing, yeah, you can say there's going to be some people that are going to be edited out probably pretty early. Well, we know for sure we're going to lose four. But yeah, there's a reason that guys are on top of this pylon right now. Those are the ones that have won throughout the course of the season. So we really shouldn't expect too much different come playoff time.
Well, and I think to get through the first round, you know, for the guys at the top of this leaderboard, I think, Lewis, to get through the first round, the key is just don't get yourself in trouble. Try to stay out of trouble. Try to stay, you know, in the front half of the field. Be consistent. Don't make mistakes on pit road. And you should be okay. Is that a proper assessment, do you think?
Yeah, it's consistency. And, you know, we don't have a Harvick and Kenseth situation in Martinsville coming up. So it's you got to play it. I know it's kind of like save gas, go fast, be aggressive, but be cautious.
Yeah.
In this round. I mean, it's a contradiction. It's a contradiction in terms, but I think, you know, you just want to keep going safely and get into the next two rounds, let's say. And save the aggression for the win if you see it's possible, but just don't be in anybody else's accidents too.
It's interesting. I've heard Todd Gordon talk on Sirius about when he was crew chief, and of course he won a championship with Logano. He said he didn't worry about winning races these first three races in the first round. He just wanted to make sure that they were consistent, stayed out of trouble, which I thought was an interesting analysis, because you think about JR, these guys are always going out and looking to win races. He said that's not what he was looking to do. He wanted to be cautious and stay out of trouble in the first round.
Man, I don't know about that strategy, because, you know, guys, it's like the regular season. You know, it's a win and you're in scenario normally, and this time it's win and you're on to the next round. So conservatism, I don't think, has much of a place here. Though maybe if you're Kyle Larson or William Byron and you have that bucket of insurance that you can carry through this thing, but I think really when you get beyond that, I would not want if I was, and then this. Probably a really good thing that I'm not leading a race team. No, but I would not want to stand up in front of a team right now and say, "Hey, let's be cautious and not go for the win." I'd be up there saying, "Let's go, you know, get this thing," because you get a win, you're on to the next round. So I see it a little bit differently, but you know, then again, there's different strategies and people look at it a different way. But I wouldn't see it that way, man. I want the win and I want it fast.
Well, again, all I'm saying is don't go for the Hail Melon. If you got a good shot at a calculated risk. There we go. If you have a calculated risk, go ahead and take it. But don't go for the Hail Melon. As simple as that. You know, if you're the guys at the top of these points.
Well, the guy getting the most attention, I think, and a guy that's getting a lot of talk is Shane Van Gisbergen. I mean, the guy's coming into this round of the playoffs. He's got 22 points. He's sixth in the standings. Right now, he is 16 clear of the cut line. And we, you know, the talk, obviously, all of us know, JR, how good he is on the road courses.
Oh, yeah.
There is no doubt that he has improved on the ovals. We've seen some good top 20 finishes from him the last few weeks on the oval tracks. Can he be, or has he shown us enough on the ovals the last few weeks to believe that he can get through Darlington, which he says is his favorite track, Darlington, Gateway, where he's never been, and Bristol? Can he get through those with that 16-point cushion and get into the round of 12?
Well, you know, there is, again, that might be the place where you play it really, really safe, because he's got those 22 bonus points. And then the next behind him is Chase Elliott with the 13 playoff points. That could really help you, and that could be one of those I remember one of the early times it was Ryan Newman that was so quietly making his way through the playoffs and made it to the finals without anybody really tripping anybody's radar. SVG, I think, could certainly do it. And you know, you have the Roval for him to look forward to. So I really think that, again, is another little bit of intrigue in this field right now that could surprise a lot of people.
JR, I was not so secretly rooting for Ryan back then. I thought,
remember that?
Yes.
He didn't have a win.
Didn't have a win.
You love chaos, Lewis. That's what you love.
I tweeted that during a race this weekend.
Well, do you think, have you seen enough, Lewis, from SVG on the ovals to believe that he can get through this first round? Because as JR mentioned it, we've all been talking about it. You got the Roval in round two, and he's going to be the prohibitive favorite.
I think he's going to play my calculated aggression rule. And if he doesn't, you can go fire me as your strategist, crew chief, whatever. But I don't think he's going to do anything well, except if he sees a spot. We know that, again, it's road courses, but we know that he's willing to take a risk, you know, to make a point. I'm sorry for pounding the podium here. sorry, guys in the engineering booth. Too many years of being a lawyer.
But he's got to get there, and can he survive these first three races to get to that round?
Darlington, to me, is a little bit of a crapshoot, and he said he likes that. St. Louis, Gateway, that's... He's got to drive that like a road course.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. Well, on the Pit Reporters each week, we give you a chance to go to goprn.com and vote in our poll. And this week's question is, will we have a new or a repeat cup champion? New or repeat? There you go. It's that simple. Last week, we asked you, should NASCAR tweak its win and your in playoff system, knowing that SVG and Austin Dillon were both well in the 20s and yet both made the playoffs? This shocked me. 77% said yes, NASCAR should tweak the playoff system, the win in your in playoff system.
Wow.
That left 23% at no. I did not imagine the fans would go 77% yes on that one.
I'm taking the fifth. I don't want to alienate any more fans.
All right, there you go. All right, when we come back, a superstar makes it official about Cup next year. He's also got some business that's unfinished for this year. Stay with us.
This is a consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about a dollar a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as a dollar, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about a dollar a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on goprn.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Reuters veteran Lewis Frank and John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. Connor Zilich is pretty good, Lewis, in case you
Oh, breaking news, huh?
Yeah, in case you missed
that.
Speaking
of broken, yeah.
Speaking of broken, kid starts the race at Daytona, gets out of the car, gives it over to Parker Kligerman, and poor Parker Kligerman's won two races at Daytona this year and has credit for neither of them. First one, he gets disqualified in the truck race, and then he wins the race, but Connor Zilich started the car, so he gets credit for the win. But Zilich continues to be something else. He's now got credit for 7 wins this year. He's 3 points out of the lead in the Xfinity Series, and they have officially announced that he will be running full-time in the Cup Series at 19 for Trackhouse next year, which, of course, we've all – if it was a secret, it was the worst-kept secret in the sport. All of us have been able to deduce this.
Yeah. All you have to do is talk to him, not interview him. He doesn't talk like a 19-year-old either. He doesn't remind me of Tony Stewart, but he reminds me of the Tony Stewart effect. When he came out, he was good. There's certainly, look, it took Jimmy Johnson some years. He struggled in what's now Xfinity. But Zilich, I mean, this, when you talk about natural talent, and also seems like a good guy out of the driver's unit. No one said that way. Off the track.
A very impressive young man, JR, don't you think?
I think so, and that's one of the best things about him, I think, other than the driving ability. Yeah, you got to have that to begin with. But the maturity, when that team has been behind the eight ball at times this season, when they have had some stuff go wrong on the pits or otherwise or getting caught up in something, he just seems so composed. And in several cases this season, they have come back from what could completely spin somebody else out. They've come back from a disappointment and won the race, gone on to win the race. I think that's an incredible show of maturity. But I always say when we're in this situation, I was just a little bit concerned. I was a big fan of Christopher Bell's. And when he came up and everybody was calling him that generational talent and had so much expectation, well, he's lived up to it and more, I think. But when a young driver, as you mentioned just a moment, let's remember Jimmy Johnson, a couple years in Xfinity, when a young driver like this comes up, I hope we have a little bit of patience. We might not need it. He might get out there and start running like he's running now in Cup, but it's like the King, Richard Petty, once said. He pointed to the Xfinity garage and the Cup garage and said, that's the biggest distance in racing, distance between them two garages there.
Great quote.
Yeah, and it is a great quote. That's a long distance in racing. These guys and gals are good that make it to Cup. And I have no reason to think that he wouldn't continue to develop and be great. But if he's not right off the bat, let's be patient, guys. Let's be, you know, show a little restraint.
Well, we've seen his talent. There's no doubt about that.
No question.
And, you know, and I had a chance to talk to Marty Lindley, his crew chief at Indianapolis, and he talked about things that have gone wrong. He said he never places blame. That's the kind of maturity this kid has at 19, just turned 19. And obviously this is a good team. This team is very good. I mean, they went out and won the race that Zilich missed earlier this year when Kyle Larson filled in, won the race. You know, obviously he gets out of the car this past weekend. Parker Kligerman gets in, they win the race. This is a good team. And Junior Motorsports is having a heck of a year. But this kid is now, he's winning races that his teammates are not, and it put together a string now. I mean, this car has now, I mean, he put together a string of 11 straight top five finishes. It's now 13 straight top five finishes for that 88 car, which is amazing. And but there's talent there beyond that. And you can tell it when you look at Zilich, and got to give Justin Marks credit for seeing this and getting this kid locked up, because I think, yeah, let's be patient, but I fully expect this kid, especially in the road courses, to get out there. And as teammates, can you imagine he and SVG next year battling in the road courses?
That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. But let me go back to my Tony Stewart thing. What did he have, 2 wins in his rookie year? He had already been a champion in IndyCar. So, again, I make the analogy, but I don't see him winning 2 races, but I'll let him come back to me this time next year and say, Lewis, you don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know, JR. What do you think? I wouldn't surprise me at this point.
No, it wouldn't. And also, you know, this is a very demanding what have you done for me lately sport. And I think we've seen some superstars that have come up through the ranks. I think it's expected now. The victories are kind of expected out of the gate. That bar was changed so much when, you know, Jimmy Johnson as a rookie in Cup won. You know, you talk about Davey and Tony and all those guys who won so early and won in their rookie years. And whereas, you know, guys like Dale Jarrett always says it took him 12 years to become an overnight success. And it's these days, though, I think this sport demands that kind of performance right off the bat. So, again, that's why I'm cautioning and asking for a little bit of patience. But, man, who knows what he can do? He's got good backup now, great support with that race team. So, I don't know. I'm very interested to see. It's going to be one of the better preseason stories, one of the things you want to watch throughout the course of the year.
And they, of course, wrap up, the Xfinity Series wraps up their regular season this week at the road course at Portland, and a couple of great battles to watch. Justin Allgaier has a 3-point lead over Zilich for the regular season championship. Sam Mayer is 26 points back. And then for the last playoff spot, Harrison Burton right now, 36 points ahead of his cousin, Jeb Burton. So battles at both ends of this playoff. And right now, hey, Justin Allgaier could use that, because right now, Zilich has 36 playoff points. Justin has 24, and the next closest is 8. Sam Mayer's got 8. Sammy Smith has 8. I mean, Allgaier could use any extra points he can get by winning the regular season.
Sure. Have we gotten, is Zilich is signed off now? Well, I mean, again, it's not a Cup race, and it's a road course. So, I mean, he's okay to run this weekend?
You know, I haven't heard how much he's going to run this weekend. I would assume he's at least going to start the car, because he did at Daytona.
Right, right.
He'll at least start it, guys. I don't know for sure what the prognosis is, but he said that, if you guys remember, he said that after the race, after he jumped out of the car, he said, "I feel really good. The belt didn't affect me." And then someone did ask him about the rigors of a road course, and his response was, "Look, I have 8 more days from now to heal up before I can do that." He said that. Now, at his age, guys, maybe it does. Not at our age,
no.
But maybe he could. But that is about as difficult as it comes. And he seemed real confident about it, about doing the full race. But yeah, you guys are right. We got to see what their plan is. I'm sure they will have somebody at least waiting in backup if they don't have the strategy of pulling him out.
Well, and then think about this. They now have, or they'll be running at the, this is not their regular season finale. I stand corrected. They
yeah,
do
St.
run,
Louis.
They do run at Gateway next week. So yeah, they got another week to go before that. So, you know, at this point for him, I think you're focusing on getting ready for Bristol and the start of the playoffs and to be healthy. Because that's going to be a physically demanding track, more so than I would think Portland or Gateway is going to be.
Yeah, and it's playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree there. But again, Dale Earnhardt, he was, what, 40-something when he had the cracked sternum or something? I mean, what drivers do, you know, they're not like you or I, or no offense, John, you either.
Yeah. No.
they see, some of them can shut out pain like you can't believe once they're in the race car.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys hit on it.
Yeah, and
he's
also
younger.
Brett.
Yeah,
he's younger. He's very young. And Brett knows this, Lewis. I just recently had my sternum cracked, and it was about as painful as so. And I was thinking about that. Earnhardt drove a race car with a broken, and the pain is just so immense. But you're right, though. They're younger for the most part, but also, man, they're pretty dang tough to be able to do that.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Dodge. Or Ram, is it, returning to the Truck Series? And colleagues got a handful bringing them in. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars. And I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickinger on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
JC's Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Sweepstakes fans, start your entries. Visit echopark.com/speedway to enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now and drive off a winner. Welcome back to Pit Reporters along with John Roberts and Lewis Frank. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. Ram announced a couple weeks ago at Michigan that they were coming back in the sport in the truck series, and they're coming back in a big way, John Roberts. Five trucks out of Kulig Racing. And right now, Kulig Racing has no trucks.
Yeah, that's true, Brett. And, you know, when I first read that, when I first heard of that happening, I thought to myself, wow, that's a big commitment, five trucks. But then again, I thought of a couple other things. All right, there's some teams right now that are bringing four trucks to the racetrack, and I feel like another thing, I don't think Chris Rice and Matt Kulig are going to do anything stupid. I trust their track record in terms of decisions they've made. So there's obviously a business side of this thing that is good, that's trending good for them. But also the one thing I like about it, though, is the fact that adding this manufacturer back now and adding more to the truck series, it wasn't too long ago that a lot of the talk around the garage area was that the truck series was not going to survive, that we were going to lose it. Then comes the crate motor, the crate engine, and it helps everybody out. And now we're looking at, you know, a 10-truck playoff field and the number of quality teams that are there. I think this is just going to only raise the ship and continue that good story, one of the better stories of saving the truck series, because it's always one of my favorite events week in and week out.
Lewis?
Yeah, I go back to, we were all there when Toyota came in, and I won't talk about the controversy at Daytona Beach, but that's another time, another story. But when Toyota came in, you know, they had moved up, they had come in with trucks and then moved up the Cup, and the Cup is what I was talking about, the controversy there. But yeah, you can't come in with two cars, trucks, whatever. You have to have a lot of data points. And obviously they've been working on this that, you know, nobody knew much until it came out. So five is good. I mean, you know, you want to have five bullets in your six shooter at least.
Well, and they're going to do a lot of work. And the interesting thing to me is that obviously they're going to continue to run the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series, and they'll continue to run Chevrolets there because Ram isn't in the Xfinity or the Cup Series, JR. So Yeah, they're going to be doing some fancy dancing there to keep a couple of different manufacturers happy. But I think everybody is glad to see Ram back in the sport. I mean, you know, Ram is a great truck brand, and I think everybody's been missing them.
Yeah, and I think, again, it just adding something in like that, when we also talk about another manufacturer potentially coming to Cup, those rumors and those stories are always there. That, again, you know, that rising tide will raise all the ships that are involved in the water. And I think you're right. There is a little bit of fine line dancing you have to do, because there's proprietary information that goes on between manufacturers, between teams of a certain manufacturer. Sometimes commingling of that is a little difficult. I think they'll handle it just fine. But again, I do like anything that bolsters this truck series and puts it on a good run, on a good line for the future, because week in and week out, guys, that truck event is usually one of the better ones. May not be one of the most attended ones, the most watched ones, but man, that is racing, and love seeing it getting better.
Over the years, the OEMs in NASCAR and open wheel, the only thing they want a little less than the championship is another manufacturer to beat. And this actually helps the manufacturers who are currently here, you know, gives them a reason to continue. Because look, we got to compete with these guys. We're selling trucks just like the Dodge Ram trucks. So this actually helps all the other manufacturers, of course, until they get beaten.
Exactly right. Hey, I want to take a couple minutes and talk about a gentleman that was a good friend of all of ours that passed away this past week. Humpy Wheeler, longtime president, general manager of Charlotte Motor Speedway. And you have probably heard people talk about Humpy over the last week since he passed away. And he was known as the P.T. Barnum of the sport, a man that was – I used the word when I posted something on X about him. He was a visionary, JR, and not only was he a visionary, but he had a visionary that had the wherewithal to be able to back up his visions. And I will tell a quick story. When I first came to Charlotte, I had a chance to meet Humpy, and this was back in 1980, and he told me a couple things at the time. He says, my great dream – is to figure out how to light a super speedway, which is what the intermediate tracks were referred to at the time. I think if I could figure out how to light a super speedway, and the challenge at the time was, yeah, you can light the track, but how do you light the pit area so that the lights in the pits don't shine up in the eyes of the fans in the stands? He says, if I can light a track like this, then I think I can get the same type of excitement you get at like LSU football games. And that was his vision. And within 7 years, he'd figure out how to make that a reality. He also told me, he said, the first thing you need to do when you take over a track is you clean up the women's restrooms. Because the most important yeah. thing to a lady is a clean restroom. And if the wife wants to go to the race, it makes it a heck of a lot easier for the husband to get there too. And that was one of the things. It's tickets and toilets were two of the most important things, and traffic.
Yep.
Those parking, are the three T's.
Yeah, I also heard it, Brett, parking and potties, too, was to have good parking for it. But, man, you hit it right on the nose. Humpy was the super promoter. He was the guy that at the top of his profession, that anybody that wanted to promote a racetrack should look at the way he conducted his business. But what I liked about Humpy more than anything else was you also – should look at Humpy in terms of the way to conduct yourself and to welcome people with open arms. Had a couple of afternoons that I ended up, you know, just sitting in Humpy's office overlooking the racetrack and shooting the bull a little bit about life and about business. And some of the things that he had told me, I still remember today, still stick with me today. And it was, but what was really impressive about that is, you know, I'm just a little TV reporter from across across town. He didn't have to spend, there was no gain to Humpy for spending any time with me. But he did. And he was friendly. And man, you feel a warmth around Humpy when you're around. And the combination of him and Bruton together with that can-do attitude, don't tell us we can't do it, we're going to prove you wrong. Huge loss, but great life.
Lewis?
Couple of things. He turned an adjective into a noun, the pre-race. People came to watch the recreation of the invasion of Grenada.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew how to put on a show before the big show. And I'll tell you, his disciples, when I first came here to not to live, but when I came here to cover races, Ed Clark was doing the public relations. And obviously Humpy taught Ed such a good job that Bruton had named him the president at Atlanta. And all of the disciples that have come through there, and Eddie Gossage, who had a kind of a reputation on his own before Texas, but all the people that worked for Humpy, they knew how to treat the teams, the sponsors, the media, and most importantly, the fans. And from the first time I came down here to Charlotte to whenever I have dealings with anybody at SMI, it was this thing. And yes, Bruton gave him the runway, and so he took off.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, he did. He understood, to John's point about the pre-race show, that you needed to get the fans more than just a race. You didn't need to. That was the way to get people. It was more value for your buck. You gave them a pre-race show. And now that's common in the industry throughout all of sports now, is to give the fans more for their money, because it's awfully easy to sit at home and watch it on your TV, as high quality as a TV broadcast is nowadays. So, yeah. Humpy understood that a long time before everybody else. And hey, we will miss him. 86 years old, passed away last week. When we come back, we will talk about Darlington. Stay with us.
Attention investors. This is a simple commercial on the investment value of gold. Gold continues to make new highs. In good markets and in bad markets, you need to have your portfolio balanced with gold. Learn about owning physical gold or getting a gold-backed IRA. Make this simple call right now.
800-308-4648, 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold. We're offering a 100% risk-free gold guide. Gold continues to make new highs, and unlike stocks, gold has never been worth zero. You owe it to your nest egg and future to own some physical gold or set up a gold-backed IRA. Call right now for your free report.
800-308-4648. 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with Reuters veteran Lewis Frank and also John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. The Lady in Black awaits this week, the egg-shaped oval. How many other names can we give her, Lewis? We'll just move on.
Yes.
I maintain that if you built that track today, the drivers would hate it with a passion, but instead, because of the tradition of what Darlington is and the Southern 500 is, they'll tell you they love it.
Of course, it's a throwback weekend for the fans, but it's an action track for, an original super speedway. You're going to get plenty of action. Memorial Day weekend.
Labor Day.
Labor Day. Excuse me. Yeah.
Right. Don't put me back at the beginning of the summer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm ready for it to cool off.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right. Too many 90 degree days. See what it did for me.
But yeah. There you go.
But yeah. Funny thing. So yeah. So last year you had Chase Briscoe winning, and he's in the chase. So I'm wondering, Chase. See, I called it the chase.
Yeah.
Instead of the playoffs. See, boy, I must have taken my stupid pills tonight.
No, you're fine. We all still say that occasionally. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got to just say one thing. When they announced the chase, the media, the old print, we said it's playoffs. No, it's a chase. Well, now it's a playoffs, which it always was. But should be good. Also, you got Denny Hamlin, who's won there the most of the active drivers. So, I think that, again, there will be some calculated, this is a good track for calculated aggression.
Well, and the one thing you won't see is a lot of different pit strategy. You may see guys maybe pit out of sequence, something, JR, but you're not going to see guys come in and try two tires.
Yeah,
this is the easiest. If you're you want to be a crew chief, JR, this is the easiest week to do it.
One. Four, there's no question. We want four every time. But it just goes to show, guys. And I think with present company included, it's really great to say that there are things that get better with age. Racetracks are one of them, and you know, maybe motorsports broadcasters get better with age as well. But I think when you look at these tracks that are older, the kind of racing they provide for us and the unique challenge. We were talking to Ryan Preece earlier today, and I just asked him, boy, when you go to a stick and ball, if you're a stick and ball guy, every time you go to the football field, it's 100 yards. And every time you go to the baseball diamond, it's 90 feet to first base. But when these pro athletes get to their destination to compete, you go from the huge track the huge, smoother track, if you will, at Daytona, and then you go to this gritty, smaller track here at Darlington. It is such a different beast every weekend, and it just keeps these guys on their toes, and I think provides a better opportunity for fans to see something different week in and week out.
Well, and they're going to see that. And this is the kind of race where you can get into trouble early, but this is the one that challenges crews. And now that NASCAR lets you go back to the garage and make repairs to your car and go back out there again, this is why you see crews go back during the course of a regular season and try to fix cars up, because this is the challenge. You may pick up a couple points here and there, Lewis, that actually could keep you in the playoffs down the line.
Oh, absolutely. Again, every round of the playoffs is survival, but you don't want to be knocked out in the first round. And so that's what makes this so important. And again, the drivers who like the high line, they've got
the wall to stop them.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, they'll have the Darlington stripe.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. I mean, this is a track that it's gonna test you, and this is the one you see. The list of different winners here, JR, is very short because of the fact that it takes a certain type of driver to be able to win at Darlington.
Oh, I think it does, and you know, Eric Jones is a great example of a guy that just takes to one certain racetrack. It's always been a great racetrack for Eric, but the one thing I like about it, though, is I feel as if it's really unpredictable. When we saw Regan Smith years ago, Regan Smith, I think everybody thought during that race, he's out there on old tires that have been driving around Darlington, you know, the cheese grater effect on the tires. He's out front and he's got to hold off a charging Carl Edwards with new tires on a race car. You never thought that would have happened, and he was able to hold them off. So we saw a huge surprise there, and I think that's why we say that the tire drop off, the tire fallout, when you start a run, and by the end of the run, when a driver is, you know, maybe a second or two off the original pace, that's when we see some of the best competition and some of the best racing. And I expect nothing else but that this weekend.
Drivers want a chance to have tire management, and this is the ultimate place to be able to do tire management. When we come back, white flag laps.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. It's time now for our White Flag Laps. And first up from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, it's John Roberts.
All right, Brett, this is opinion, right? That's why we get to come on these shows. I am not taking away or disparaging anybody else's opinion. I completely respect them. But it is my humble opinion that the playoff system that's currently in place right now in NASCAR has a lot of good things going for it. I think it combines so many different things into one playoff format, and it's just to the point of being somewhat confusing to some race fans. Don't change it is what I would say. I like the playoffs the way they are. Others may not. I respect your opinion, but I feel as if this current playoff system is pretty dang cool, and there's a lot going for it.
I like it. I won't disagree with you. Next up, the Reuters veteran, Lewis Frank.
All right, I'll be the thorn in your side, John.
Okay, that's all right.
I'm with Mark Martin, who's very vocal on Twitter and X about this. That the championship boils down to just one race at the end of the season, I have an issue with that. The rest of the playoffs, I'm kind of okay with. But that one race determines a championship. And again, people will rationalize how it's not just one race. You got the eliminations. You got the regular season. I don't think that one race makes a champion, as much as I was rooting quietly for Ryan Newman way back.
Well, I'm going to go with John. And yes, it's your right to disagree, but how can you not like this playoff system? It really gives you something to get excited about through the summer months and through the end of this regular season. I mean, let's look at IndyCar. The champion was crowned with two races to go. They ran at Milwaukee last weekend, already knowing who the champion of the sport was. Here, we've been looking at weeks, wanting to know if there's a new winner, it eliminates this guy. We've been talking to drivers for the last 3 months who were on the cut line or near the cut line. And these guys are going, I know I've got to win a race because if I don't, there's a really good chance I get eliminated if a new driver wins and knocks me out. I can't count on making it on points. And then you had the race at Daytona last weekend where poor Alex Bowman sitting back there in his motorhome watching the race end and seeing two, three, four guys up front who did not have a win yet, who were below him in points, knowing full well if they got to the finish line first, he was out. And then here comes Ryan Blaney, a guy who had already won yet this year, and Alex Bowman is saved. Now the drama shifts to a different way as we go into the playoffs, eliminations. I don't disagree with Lewis, but I have other thoughts on how we determine a champion with a two or three race rundown. Because then we get into math again, Lewis. I don't know if I want to get there. All right. So the playoffs start this week at Darlington. Then we go to Gateway, then Bristol. That's round one. Lewis, JR, thanks a lot for being with us. Thank you for being with us. We'll talk to you next week on The Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for The Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.